played a little bit of a movie case, I think, or something.
Okay, so I'm going to call the second monthly meeting of the Port of Fort Townsend for Wednesday, March 28th, to order. And we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's over there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so before we start, I'm going to read something that I've prepared. I can and will take responsibility for the comment I made at last week's Port Commission meeting. I apologize not only to Casey Cronkite, but also to the entire community. Although it has never been or will be my intent to condescend, discriminate, or insult anyone, as one of your elected Port Commissioners, I failed you by making casual commentary in a fashion that resulted in exactly the opposite of my intent. I also apologize for not immediately recognizing the potentially negative impact that my words could have or would have, not only on Ms. Cronkite, but the entire community. I can assure you that I have given much thought to my actions, and it's clear to me that I need to further develop my ability to identify appropriate and inappropriate word choice. Moving forward, I'm committed to applying this experience to myself, as well as to the entire port organization, to ensure everyone is respected and treated appropriately. And I read that, so I wouldn't get it wrong.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, so the agenda.
We approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so now on public comments. It's a little bit different tonight because we have this new executive session, really. So after we had just figured out we wanted to have public comments as the first, we still do. The Supreme Court has stipulated that they like to see public comments for agenda items with the agenda item. So if you look on your agenda, you're going to see regular business. Well, I'll just read it. The court has added the topic of the proposed Northwest Maritime Center lease to tonight's agenda. As you may know, the port has not yet made a formal decision on the proposed Northwest Maritime Center lease. The current status is that port staff will be coming back to commission on April 11th with a recommendation on this topic. At this time, the port does not plan for an executive session tonight on this topic, but we do encourage public discussion tonight about the lease. When we get to that point in the agenda, the port will again announce the factors that affect this potential lease issue, and then we'll accept public comments on those factors. And I'll read the factors when we get there. Public comments tonight and at any time will help inform staff's recommendation to be presented on April 11th meeting, as well as help we commissioners as we consider this important issue, including when it is next discussed in any executive session. So tonight's the night for the comments. I want to stress that the port is committed to transparency and to compliance with all aspects of the Open Public Meetings Act. We very much appreciate your feedback on these important topics, and we look forward to continue to working together towards a successful Port of Fort Townsend. So, having figured out how this is going to work, we're going to take comments on the Northwest Maritime Center timeline when we get there. So right now, the public comments are for everything else. Does anyone want to comment on anything else? Go ahead, Liz.
A list, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The sign-up sheet, since we had two separate ones, it's going to be difficult for me to know which thing you signed up for. So I'm just going to look at your hand.
No, we just have one sign-up sheet.
What's that?
We just have one sign-up
sheet.
Yeah,
but we have two topics.
Right.
So anyone wanting to comment on not the Northwest Maritime Center lease, should do so now. Okay, did you
want to? I guess I have a question. So my comments are about the Open Public Meeting Act issue, one, and then also, not on the memo, but on related issues. So do you want me to share those comments now? Or do you want me to share those
okay, this is really not questions, this is comments. And
so this is not, these are not questions, these are comments.
No, these are the comment period, public comment.
Okay.
So If you want to talk about February financials, occupancy, occupation, our operations reports, warrants, consent agenda, you know, we did this earlier.
Anything else. Hmm? Or anything else.
Or anything else. Now's the time. But if you want to talk about the process and timeline for the Northwest Maritime Center, we'll wait until we get to that section.
Right.
And hand those not just the audience, hand those to Sue.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Charlie, so just give half the pack to the. So I, Charlie's handing out both a letter as well as a fact sheet for your information. Thank you for the opportunity to comment, Commissioner Cooper. Thank you for the genuine apology. So I'm going to summarize this letter. All of you received an email, the commissioners received an email on this. And I also want to point out the fact sheet that's attached. This is a fact sheet done by the Municipal Research Services on the Supreme Court decision regarding the Open Public Meetings Act from last year. So there are two specific issues that I would like to address tonight. First is the Open Public Meeting Act and compliance with that. Under this new Supreme Court finding, and it relates to the discussion of the key factors regarding the Maritime Center proposal. I know the Commission wants to be open and transparent. I appreciate that very much. And what I'd like to say is that currently it makes sense that the citizens of Port Townsend and Jefferson County would want to see how the Maritime Center proposal stacks up against other proposed development plans for Port Hudson. And the proposal for the Maritime Center lease came at a time when the port was in the midst of doing an economic feasibility planning grant through Mall Foster at Point Hudson. Now, however, it seems that in your recent executive session, a new financial model was presented and discussed, which is very different than the one presented to the public last October during the Mall Foster study. At our request, to ensure that you are transparent and in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, is that you share a public summary of the points discussed during your executive session on March 20th with the community, because you did start discussing key factors. And under this Supreme Court finding, if you read the summary of the fact sheet, I believe that's something that should be had been held in an open public meeting. And that before your April 11th staff recommendations, you hold another public meeting. The purpose of that will be for all the factors that are discussed in the executive director's memo that you share today in the agenda, described and discussed in an open public forum with questions and answers. And a discussion is included on those. There would be no discussion of the bottom line backstop price for the lease. That is the only thing that you can discuss in executive session. We have three primary concerns with the financial model.
There's 2 minutes, Liz, so go ahead and wrap it up, please.
Okay. Three issues that we have concerns with on the new financial models. Revenue forecasts are considerably higher than either the current or historical revenue at Point Hudson or under the Mall Foster study. We would like to understand what business development model for the port staff is proposing that would generate this amount of revenue. Expenses show an increase of 3% per year over the next 20 years. This is an amount that is significantly lower than the port's last 4 years' personnel expenses. Those have risen by 9% annually.
And so third, this is what you gave us already, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so we have...
In that letter. That's the handout right there.
Yeah, in the letter.
And the capital expenditures in the Mall Foster study show over $2 million in the next 10 years, and none of these capital needs are included in the new model that was presented on March 20th. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. So you have a sign-up sheet?
Right there.
Yeah, but I... Carol Hossie. Okay, now is this going to be about the Northwest Maritime Center, Carol?
No, it is not.
Okay.
George is ready.
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
It's a condensed overview of the proposed Point Hudson breakwater concerns. The port cannot afford the proposed new steel palmy wall at Point Hudson. without nearly maxing their bonding capacity. Its price will rise dramatically for the new steel tariffs. The port does not yet know what it will cost to repay the bond or if we can get one. There's no maintenance budget for the proposed new break wall. The proposed new break wall is a flawed design. It narrows the harbor entrance by 12 feet. It narrows the turn from the entrance into the marina fairway, the choke point, by 9 feet. It completely removes the existing caged rock breakwater, totally destroying octopus and wolf eel habitat and cherished dive site. It replaces our caged rock breakwater with a Chinese steel combi wall that would require anodes annually and a 10 to 15 year coating reapplication and or repair of 4,100 square feet in a harbor known to be hot. Unlike rock, it does not have the capability of absorbing wave energy and will reflect, bounce back, waves onto the Maritime Center's public float dock, affecting the safety of youth and the Learn to Sail programs and all small boaters who are near it. It will allow more wave penetration into the marina and more wave action, especially in the southeast corner 70-foot slips. Engineering design drawing shows no public pathway. The port's engineering reports state the two long-term options for Point Hudson's breakwater are major rehabilitation or replacement. Rehabilitation is estimated at half to three quarters the cost of new. Our caged rock breakwater, requiring no toxic coatings or zinc anodes, is 80 years old and has had no maintenance besides two major repairs in 69 and 95, roughly at 30-year intervals. Estimates of steel combi wall service life with maintenance of 40 to 50 years, with estimates of the steel combi wall service life with maintenance is 40 to 50 years. Then what? Replace it again? We respectfully ask the commissioners to please delay the bid release for 2 months in order to review their break wall decision and to address the above concerns. We believe there could be considerable multi-factor savings, both upfront and long-term, to offset design change costs. Let us not be the community that destroys the octopus's garden in the shade.
Thank you.
No clapping.
No clapping, please. Let's see. George.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to sign up. Sorry. About every 4 years, the Jefferson County Democratic Party hosts a forum on economic development. On April 17th at the Port Ludlow Bay Club will be a forum that is entitled Jobs, Jobs, Economic Opportunities, and Shortcomings for Jefferson County. The speakers for this will be Kate Dean, who is has considerable experience leading the, I think it's called the Regional Economic Development Council, I'm not sure. Deborah Stinson, Brian Hugh, and we're hoping that the port also participate. The last time we did this, Larry Crockett was one of the featured panelists. We would like very much to have you all involved. And if you could, I appreciate you letting me know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Okay. Jeff. Oh, is there?
Is there somebody else?
Well, actually, I've got two more on here. I got to make sure, since we have two different things, we'll see.
I'm going to let Chris go first.
Jeff, is Jeff Lately out there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to let Chris go first.
No, I'm running the meeting. So are you talking about the dive site, or are you talking about the...
We are talking about the jetty.
The jetty. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Can I defer to Mr. Hansen first?
Do you mind if I go first?
Is his name
go
on
ahead.
There?
Chris,
no.
Yeah, Chris's name is on this one. Just ask
Chris. Oh, there it is. It's under
Jeff.
It makes
a little
yeah.
more sense okay. if Chris goes first. Thank you.
So, my name is Chris Hansen. I've lived here a long time. I know everybody at the table, and I know most of you. And I want to say thank you for listening. Appreciate it. And thank you all for being here.
Chris, you need to just address us. It has nothing to do with the audience. You're just talking to the commissioners. Thank you.
I dive with a group of guys. We dive a lot. We dive some pretty interesting places. And when we go on a dive trip, sometimes bad things happen or things don't go as planned. And we have a little rule. First thing goes wrong, we go, yeah, that's a problem. We'll redesign. We'll figure it out. Second thing goes wrong, we do that. Third thing goes wrong, we call the dive. We say, you know, this isn't working. We need to reevaluate. So, Pete, you and you, Steve, know that for 5 years, I've been telling you guys that there's a huge resource there in those rocks, and we need to save it, not vacuum it up and destroy it. And you've been great. I offered to take both of you diving. Steve, you were all set to go diving, and we had a problem with equipment, and you didn't get to dive. When I got asked to come and talk about moving the construction date forward, that was really my first chance to look at the 90% design drawings. And I looked at them, and I was really disturbed. We have an existing, very rich octopus and other marine life habitat there that in the drawings say, we're going to basically clear cut the footprint of the existing jetty and go 10 foot beyond it and a foot deep. And I reflect on that a little bit. I ask you to reflect on that a little bit. We're paying to clear cut marine environment. I looked at the engineering design drawings that are on the website that port staff provided me, and I see there's been recommendations for repair, reconstruct, replace. Repair, reconstruct, do not clear cut the bottom. They keep our rock cage jetty. They keep one of the probably the best easily accessible dive sites in the Pacific Northwest. There are better sites, but they're a little harder to get to. This one is a shore dive. People come from Seattle all the time to dive this, and we're gonna clear cut it. So I'm really concerned about that. I'm looking at this steel slab wall. I think about the steel slab wall on Hood Canal Bridge on a nice summer day. The wind's blowing hardly at all, and it looks like a washing machine there. And I'm afraid we're gonna do the same thing here in that little area between the jetty and the Maritime Center dock. And I guess I'm done.
No, thanks, Chris.
All right. We don't want to see a headline, guys, that says Port of Port Townsend borrows money to destroy octopus habitat and put children at risk. We really don't want to do that.
So, Jeff, are you going to talk about diving too?
Yes, sir.
Good.
And then
I'll talk lines, or I have some things to add.
Okay.
Jeff Kelly, thank you guys for letting me speak. Just a brief comment. Sam had commented back in October 18th that we barely have the bond capacity to do the Point Hudson Jetty. If our bids come in high, we may not even be able to borrow the money to build it. And if we build it, we have no revenues to go towards paying the bond back. All I wanted to say, I echo the concerns you've already heard. But I wanted to say that given that a repair could be significantly less than a rebuild, albeit with some difference in length of time, right? Isn't it worth a little bit more time and deliberation on the repair approach, particularly if the current jetty is more consistent with historical Port Townsend standards? And it's more sea kindly, as we've talked about to the kids who are sailing there. So I just appreciate a little bit more time to give this some community discussion.
Thank you. Okay, that's all I have on here. Back in the day, this was before even you were a commissioner. It was in 2014, we worked on it for, most of the year. We had a lot, and I just found how I can access my meeting packets on an archive place in my computer to go back and look there. I just started looking. And no one was more of a proponent for a rubble mound than myself. I made myself a real annoyance to the engineers and Shane. Every time he come, he just go, ah. And the reason is specifically exactly what you're talking about. because I dove on that years ago, and I haven't been there quite a while lately. And after, it had to be 6-8 months of meeting, of going over to Edmonds, which is where their thing is, their engineering office, and going over the details here, it just became very clear that if we want to actually put one there, we're not going to be able to use a rubble mound because, and I found my actual copies of the PowerPoint, the paper ones, so I have those at home. Were you able to find that?
It's on the website.
Okay, so it's on the website. So if you look on the website, you'll be able to see the fact that my favorite and Carol's favorite and everyone else's favorite simply won't fit in the spot. You're gonna, they're too close together. You can't get a boat through. And I was heartbroken. I mean, I really worked on that for a long time. And like I said, I annoyed everybody. The only option that we could, and we worked on repair. That was also an option that we studied because that's me. I'm a reduce, reuse, recycle, fix it, And so that was my first choice too. But again, I had to listen to the engineers because that's what they're paid for. The long and the short of it is that we ended up with really the only option, sadly, that we could do, and that ends up being this. We had at that time a dive club come up from Tacoma, and they gave us all of the species that they had down there and showed us pictures, and they had inventories like bird watchers would get when they go out and bird watch, and they had numbers of fish sightings and so forth. They were really into it, and I told them I'd do whatever I could to try to save that. And in the interim, what's the name of that thing, Chris?
The Washington Scuba Alliance.
Washington Scuba Alliance. I spoke with them, and they are interested and willing, and I haven't spoken to them in a while because we've been still in the middle of this. They said they have permits to be able, last time I spoke with them, I have to get hold of them again, to be able to take the living rock that's in that caged thing that has life all on it and move it over to somewhere between the, what they call a castle, that thing that has the submarine net anchor on the shoreward side, to go in between those two places. And if you look down there, there's a bunch of rock that's spilled out already. The rock that's fallen out of the toe of the jetty is going to stay there. So that was the best that I could do. Like I said, I was crushed, and I felt badly about it. But we did a lot of work, and I'd be happy to, I haven't had a chance to go through all of the meetings, but I'd be happy to go through and search them now that I found where I can access them. See if I can shed more light on it, but we worked hard on it.
Could I use my last 30 seconds?
Okay.
So I want to say two things. When I spoke up last time and talked about the Rebel Mound Jetty, I didn't understand that every pile of rocks wasn't a Rebel Mound Jetty. We have a Rebel Mound Jetty at the Boat Haven, and we have them at the mouth of the Columbia River. We have a rock cage jetty at Point Hudson. By all this information I read on the port website, both engineers, even though one of engineers from two different companies, or Coast Harbor and Engineering became Mott McDonald, so we're talking about Mike Smernick and Shane Phillips, they both say in their reports that we can have a replacement or a major rehabilitation. Major rehabilitation of what we have, and that would cost half to three quarters the amount. So I think we really need to look at this.
Yeah, you'll have to show me that because, like I said, I was quite involved in that, and I'd love to see it in case that's there. But like I said, I worked on it quite a bit to get it the other way. Okay, so let's see. That's that. Any other? Oh, I'm sorry, Melinda.
Yeah. Thank you. At the last port commission meeting a week ago Tuesday, a number of folks stepped up to volunteer funds to the port to delay the jetty repair, and which was phenomenal. The one thing that wasn't done, however, the thing that we discussed in this morning's meeting, was that an action would need to be taken by the commissioners to make those proposed donations legal, and that the port could begin to capture these dollars so that when the proposals come in, you'll know if you have enough cash or not to do the reconstruction. So I'm just asking that you take this up in your discussion tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Almost called on you. Don't move your glasses. Okay, so then we're going on to the consent agenda. Does everyone look at the consent agenda?
Yeah, I had one change.
Was it in minutes or?
Yes, it was in the minutes.
Which meeting?
It was about the 20%. It's on page 7. Yeah, and so it's about 2/3 of the way down. It's talking about my comments, and it says if delayed a year, there would be a risk of losing about 20% of the granted 901K. And that's incorrect. It would be there was a 20% chance that we would not get the entire 901K, one in five chance. So I don't know if I actually did not get a chance to listen to the audio if that was in fact what I said, but I'm pretty sure that's what I said. So that would be my only change. Other than that, I would move that we accept the
consent. Okay, have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Is that for the entire consent agenda?
The entire consent agenda, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we have no second readings. We have no first readings. So now in the regular business, we have our February financials.
All right, so looking at the year-to-date February financials, just as a brief overview, we're still going very strong in the second month of the year. We're up in revenues 12% over the prior year, which we haven't done this well in many years. Pretty exciting. And actually most of that, a lot of it has to do with the Point Hudson and Boat Haven. When you look at the RV parks and marinas, they're up ahead of the prior year, 64,000, ahead of budget, 41,000. Shipyard revenues, staff really worked hard on those, getting people in there, and we're up over prior years and ahead of budget there. The workyard hoist revenues, those increased more in the second month of the year, better than January, which is good, although the workyard revenues, which is basically the storage, is still not doing great. Properties and leases, pretty much chugging along, except for with some empty buildings down at Point Hudson. That's really hurting us in the Kukla House and Armory Building. Although we also know staff are working on those, maintenance staff, getting them ready. Fuel sales and leases are below the prior year. Ramp revenues are still ahead of last year, and utilities are ahead of last year. And then moving on to page 2 of the handout, or 13 of the package, the revenue, the expenses year-to-date are over the prior year, which we would expect because that's what we budgeted for. Most of that is in personnel and facilities and operations. Utilities are slightly higher, and cost of goods sold for the fuel is a little bit less in this year. But everything's really within budget or actually below budget with the February numbers. And just as a note, the personnel is a little bit below budget because we had a couple open positions, one of which has been recently filled with the CSR2 position. Net operating income was $84,000. Which is actually nicely above the prior year, and is actually ahead of budget too. That's really good. Non-operating revenues, had quite a few, we've had some activity with both the projects, the large projects, the runway and the jetty, so we've been billing the grants. We also had a miscellaneous increase in 17, which was due to an insurance recovery. Non-operating expenses, that's the same note from January, just making note about the bond issuance costs. We're not in the budget. Capital projects, in February expended $84,000, again, mostly because of the runway and the jetty. We also had the yard office remodel, which is completed, and everybody's working snugly together in that little space. And then capital purchases, we've added this to the listing because we had some laundry equipment purchased for both Boat Haven and Point Hudson. This was something that was budgeted back in 17 and didn't occur. Took a little while to get going. But so that comes out of the repair and maintenance budget. And then the heaters at the Shanghai. And the deposit for the FSM Arena software, which is fully installed, by the way, and will probably be implemented May 1st. Cash balances at the end of the month, we had balances of 1.7, almost 1.8 million, with reserves at 892, and unreserved cash and investments at 885. Moving on to the cash flow management report, which is page 16 of the packet, page 5 of my financial report. This is, I believe, what the commissioners asked for. It basically looks at the net income without depreciation, where we are year to date, which was 262. And then there's some accrual changes, which are based on the balance sheet, and those came up to $220,000. And then you have the capital expenditures, which are backed out. I left the debt in there, even though there was no servicing yet year to date, just to give you an idea what else would be in there or will be in there later in the year. So there was a net decrease in cash year to date, and then you have the beginning cash at 12/31/17 or 1/1/18. And then the ending cash at the end of February. I will note here that when we completed the 2018 budget, our estimated beginning cash at 1/1/18 was 1.7 million, and our actual is 1.8. So we're about $100,000 more than we had originally thought. Moving on to the trend analysis, the four-year trend charts. The first one's the marinas and RVs. As you can see, it's the best it's been in 4 years. And the following page, you have the yard operations revenue. And it looks like it's moving towards 15 numbers, we're hoping. And but it's doing better than the other 2 years, 16 and 17. And then the next page on the property lease and use revenue, it's pretty flat along with the other years. And like I said, it is actually a little bit less because of the Point Hudson properties that are vacant. And then on the last page is the facilities and operations expenses. And those are higher than the last 3 years, 4 years. And again, that was something that's been budgeted. So even though comparatively to prior years it's up, it's actually below budget. So I think we're
doing the software, kind of partly the software?
For the facilities and operations? No.
No,
because that's going to be capitalized. Yeah. Yeah, it's more, the highest number was repair and maintenance.
Ask Larry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions?
No, I think that's wonderful. You did an excellent job on getting those schedules like we like them.
Thank you.
And making the numbers good too.
Wow, I'm just reporting them, not making them.
Okay, any other questions?
No.
Okay, then we'll go on to item B, occupancy operations report.
I think it kind of speaks for itself. I don't have really anything else to add. I do believe that we, you know, we need to obviously do a lot more in the work yard, and we need to make sure we control our expenses going forward in order to be able to produce the end of year results and quarterly results that we're aiming for. So it's a couple of months under our belt, but it's still not enough to give me absolute confidence, but I think we're definitely heading in the right direction. We're starting to book more business into the future, which I think is a good approach to it. And I think the staff is doing a really good job. And I think, you know, when we get into the properties and we get through this Kidder Matthews study, and then we start bringing that together, I think that'll move everything forward here in the right direction.
Do you have a new date or a revised date on that study when that's?
Do not have that yet. We've met with them, and they have they're obviously making progress and things, but they're not giving us a date. I'll check on that.
Thank you.
Greg, can you talk a little bit, or Kimberly, about what we're doing with the work yard? I mean, do we have programs that we're aggressively putting out there?
We have a discount, which basically, you know, and then we're also just reaching out directly to some of the customers. But we haven't been, you know, haven't put as much effort into it as I'd like to. Part of it is just the timing. We're putting a lot of time in the FSM software, and we just went through almost like 4 days of training, I think, with just about everybody that's involved in that. So as far as some of the focus on actually just going out directly selling to it, but we know that the work yard, obviously, it's, you know, starting to fill up. And that's not inconsistent with history. But I think it's a matter of, so if you look at basically occupancy and you look at halls and that kind of thing, we're pretty much in a sense almost like a bell curve. So we're already naturally gonna see some increase now coming into April. We already know that occurs. So usually what people try to do is on the shoulder seasons, they call it, we're gonna try to increase the demand substantially in the valleys. And I think that what we talked about doing, we've been working with a number of people that are tenants and interested parties in terms of coming up with a shared understanding of how we're gonna set rates going forward, how those rates are kind of get formulated, how we wanna position ourselves collectively within the market. And I think it's, I don't want to get out in front of it until we kind of all make sure that we all come to an agreement on what the conclusions are going to be from that effort. So I want to present it collectively if we're going to present anything. But I think that will go towards building more business for the port and for everybody in general, and making sure that we all operate together, you know, especially including from the port end, that we're integrating our efforts in with the tenants and customers.
Okay.
The 10% discount that I was referring to also was originally supposed to end March 31st, but has been extended through April.
And I think that was basically some of the feedback we received was, well, it wasn't absolutely clear within people like that program. So I think one of the things we're going to do, try to do a better job going forward too, is making sure that when we implement a program that we communicate it out, make sure that Kimberly has the information and it's crystal clear. Is also there's, you know, how it's actually administered to, because I think there's also some you know, there's a number of misunderstandings, something like that. You know, we have the same pricing for basically everybody when we give a discount like that. So we talked to a number of different people, but I think we're, like I said, I think we're moving forward and actually kind of partnering with people to get it, make sure that we move forward together.
Are we putting the word out, and are we marketing this with periodicals and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me tell you something I just saw. I was just a bystander, but I watched Greg dancing down the hall. Like, look, there's Winston.
Who was that highlighter that you saw coming in?
That was the champion. Yeah, Nick Babich. Yeah.
He actually went out and grabbed him and dragged him down here. He's bringing. He's got several boats, and you know, he brought him down here.
Good. Thank you.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. All right, so now we come to the process and timeline for the Northwest Maritime Center. Does everyone have this in their, is are the copies out there?
They were all attached to all the packets.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Sam, you were going to take over on this?
Yes, so again, as a bit of a repeat from our last meeting, the commission adjourned to discuss as only related to acceptable minimum price, these issues, the issues and factors that the commission might choose to consider, and those were term of agreement, the leased area, including the two approaches that were presented, both a phased and a comprehensive lease area, the consideration, including capital payment, lease payment, and profit or revenue sharing, the existing and future debt profile of the marina, the buildings, and the jetty, the financing and bonding implications. The Northwest Municipal Advisors has indicated a need to review with bond counsel. We have subsequently done had that conversation, and they are not indicating any revision necessary at this point. The administrative and basically our overhead, what's G stand for, Angie?
General.
Thank you. I had a little brain burp there. Creditworthiness of the proponent, including experience and financial creditworthiness. Capital improvements, including buildings, basic infrastructure, water, sewer, stormwater, power, and communications, walkways, parking, proposed uses, and conformance with the existing zoning and shoreline master program, the ability to partner, and the governance structure. And those discussions were confined as they related to acceptable minimum price. And but at this point, I understand that we wanted to open for public comment on such issues, and that we will not be having a executive session tonight.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to be acting on anything. The next thing we're going to do on this is on the 11th, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are having an executive session, but it's not on.
Not on this, correct. Right.
No, are we actually having?
We kept it on the
oh,
agenda.
Oh, we did keep it back on?
Yeah.
Okay. So where was I? Okay, yeah, so basically what I'm looking for now is we go to executive session to speak to all these issues regarding how they relate to minimum price. So I'm looking for comments from you regarding these issues.
We've got the list.
And I have another list.
I didn't see that list.
This is the original list.
Oh.
I think
just pass it out.
Since we had two different comment things, I think the list is kind of redundant. So I'll just raise your hand and I'll. And remember, these are comments, not questions or you're addressing the commission, not the audience, and no applause or whistling or booing or throwing things. Okay, who wants to go first? Okay, go ahead, Carol.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Charlie Kineski. I wanted to add to this list a couple items that are missing, which is in last week in your executive session, I understand you reviewed some numbers that were made up by Greg and Ron in terms of the alternative to the Northwest Maritime lease, which has to do with what the port would do on its own without a lease in terms of revenue and in terms of expenses. That's considerably different than what's projected in the Moll Foster study from their slideshow. And I'd like to find out from staff what assumptions are underlying that increase in net income, because it's considerable. It's twice as much as Moll Foster forecasted, number one. And number two, also to make sure that you're aware that getting out of capital expenditures at Point Hudson is the same as if somebody paid you for it. So if the new tenant, proposed tenant, Northwest Maritime Center, whatever capital expenditures they're willing to pick up are capital expenditures the port doesn't, and that has value, significant value, something like $2.4 million in the next 10 years,
in the Moll Foster study. So I just want to make sure those are picked up. But in your list here, it doesn't include the assumptions and the alternative to the lease that is being compared to see whether the lease is a good deal. So just want to make sure that was really clear, and where those numbers came from is not clear to me, because they're just numbers that have been thrown around, but there's no assumptions, and I think that should be shared with the public, what the assumptions are that if the port didn't do the lease, how are you going to get this money that you've never gotten before? What's the proposal? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Carol?
So, last week we gathered, it was pointed out that Point Hudson doesn't make enough money to justify any breakwater or maybe anything in some ways. But I just want to say that people travel the world over to Brittany or the west coast of Ireland or England or to Maine to try to see something like Point Hudson. And when you go to Maine, you're fighting your way down through private homes and private docks, and you don't feel that that's a place for you. What we have in Point Hudson is so unique. The opportunity to have an organization like the Northwest Maritime Center step up and take that load and carry it into the future, and the dream that we always had about this being a maritime opportunity for education for youth and seniors and professionals to grow our businesses in our community, but also to contribute to our state's aging mariner marine trade professional population. This is a gift that we can't ignore. And I see and have always seen the synergy. People come to the Wooden Boat Festival, they get excited, they get enrolled, they might take a class, they might build a pygmy kayak, they might come back and contribute more to our community just by as a tourist. They might enroll in the boat school, and from the boat school comes our next workforce. It's this beautiful synergy that people from the world over, maritime professionals, my vendors from who make hardware and sailcloth, people who come from Australia, look at this place and go, how can we make this happen in our community? We can't throw it away. The development alternatives that Moll Foster presented were stupid. Two of them wouldn't pay. Two of them involved something that shoreline amendments don't allow and would make us look like Gig Harbor or worse, Gulch Harbor. This is not who we are. I urge you to save Point Hudson by letting the Maritime Center keep it from development and carry on its path to bring education and inspiration to our youth. And when our high school kids come back year after year after year for the festival, it will be home. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. Thank you. Melinda?
As far as these questions, I agree that this is a jewel, what we have at Point Hudson. It does have to be funded. And there's, I think, some confusion about whether or not the point makes money or doesn't make money. What it does do is provide cash flow for the port. We've seen it's about $700,000 a year. The difference from Moll Foster, by the way, is G&A, including it or not. Back to the fact that the gift must be funded. If you believe that the Northwest Maritime Center will do a better job than what the state food did, that would be their contribution to you. I think it's important.
This isn't the debate.
Yeah. So,
sorry.
Okay.
Ron. Yeah, I agree with Carol Hasse. I think this is a great opportunity to form a partnership with the Maritime Center and also use their
Ron, you're
to, oh, sorry about that.
Or you looking at a rare.
Or you need to do that. Anyhow, it's a great opportunity to bring in donations that a port normally doesn't have access to. And I know we can pull this off, but as commissioners, you gotta keep in mind that when the revenues are no longer part of the port, that they're part of the Maritime Center's financial statement, that you're still gonna have to pay off the debt. And you're gonna have two bonds, and you're gonna have interest
that has to be paid on. The total of that is something like $9.7 million, and it's going to be paid over today, or excuse me, 2018 through 2037, and then it'll be completely paid off. But you're going to have the money to pay that every year. And the other thing that you're going to have to come up with the money is out in 2020 is to replace the North Jetty. And that's estimated at $2.5 million or something. So we're talking about a total of $12 million that need to be funded by the port. And if they don't have revenues coming in from Point Hudson anymore, then that money is going to have to be taken from the cash that's generated in the boatyard, in the marina, in Quilcene, in the airport. And that's going to put a real stress and strain on the rest of the port operations. Now, you may be able to go out and get new businesses or increase existing revenue, but boy, you're taking a huge risk of not being able to cover this. You'll get through the first 10 years, okay, because the lease, you're going to have a lease that's paid every year, and you're going to have a down payment of something like $3.5 million in the first 2 or 3 years. But in the next 10 years, the next 10 years, the next 10 years, there's no down payment or any additional income coming in. So you're really going to have financial difficulty. It looks good for the first 10 years. Matter of fact, if you could do a deal for 10 years, I'd say do it. But the future after that looks not so good. And I think you just have to really consider that. But we got to make this deal go through. I'm convinced that the Maritime Center is exactly what this town, this port, this county, we need to see them get larger and be able to generate more revenue. But the revenue has to come in and support the debt payments of the port. The port built all these improvements, and they have to pay it off now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Okay, Liz?
Yes, just some specific items on the memo, Sam's memo that has the issues, and we asked for several other issues to add to that list.
Oh, even on this memo?
Yes, yeah. So one of the things that I would suggest adding is land use restrictions. I think those play into the minimum price issue eventually, what kind of restrictions are on the property in terms of land use and development, the implications of land uses at that site.
So that doesn't fall into conformance with SMP?
Zoning? That's one piece. I mean, yes, but it's just in general, all the different land use implications for how you develop the site and then what kind of revenue you can get from different development scenarios. Okay. So that's one thing. I also think if you can, I think the people talk about the Mall Foster, since we're in the process of that and we're paid for it, and you ask them to do an economic feasibility analysis for Point Hudson, why not include that? I mean, I don't know what they've done or what they've produced, but if it's valuable, why not include that in your discussions? So that's another thing to add. The other thing I wanted to just mention before I sit down is that this discussion that we're having is really good. All this discussion, that's what's supposed to happen with this lease issue. That's what the Supreme Court said. That was their finding. That's why what they said was, to the extent that any factor, I'm quoting this from the Supreme Court decision, to the extent that any factor may potentially impact the agency's bottom line price, that factor must first be discussed in open session without reference to the specific dollar impact on the bottom line price. After this public discussion has occurred, Ron, Linda, you know, we all provide our, and we hear from you and staff. After that discussion has occurred, the governing body may go into executive session, but only to discuss how this factor will impact the bottom line price. I really want you to think about that and our comments on the Open Public Meetings Act.
Thank you, Liz. Anybody else? There you go, okay, Bertram.
sitting at the meeting today, I was really struck by Sam starting to say, this is going to be, and then there was 60 seconds of silence. I was reminded of a young woman at the Washington steps describing the shooting in Florida. The port is really going to be in a very precarious position. This is really dangerous, and so I'm glad to see Ron supporting the idea of creating some kind of deal. And as he was talking, I was thinking, well, it's true that in 10 years, this might be a good deal, but in 10 years, most of your notes will be paid off. And with $3.5 million coming in from the Maritime Center, you could really buff up a lot of the ports, and you wouldn't necessarily need to incur any other debts, and you would be able to handle the continued payment on the jetty. I hope I'm making myself clear. Yeah. In 10 years, you will, all your other debts will be paid off, and then you will be in a position to service the debt on the jetty. No?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2037, they'll be completely paid off.
I still say it's
18. Hey, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Bertram. Okay, anybody else? By golly, I think we've done it. Okay. Staff comments.
No
staff comments?
No.
Greg, you already commented. Kimberly, you didn't comment, did you?
She did.
I made a comment.
There's no. Carolyn?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Abigail, you commented. Uh-huh. Sue? What? Okay. Commissioner comments. You're the busy guy now.
I'm the busy guy now. I had some great constituent meetings this month. I got a chance to talk to Chris Jones from Coast, and now I understand a lot more about that operation in Quilcene than I ever thought I needed to understand. Meeting with PTMTA, finally, after much just messing around and messing up on my part, finally got a hold of Steve and Gail and got the tour of the Haven Boat Works. That was cool. Still can't do it in 3 hours a week, but
I was supposed to hang
out. But that's about mine. I'm not a scuba diver, but you know, if Washington State doesn't have a underwater dive park, Port Townsend's certainly the place for it. The thing is, we gotta wring some money out of the state to get this going, and we may just take that up with our legislators. You know, and I guess you know, Pete probably has some ideas about where best to have it so it's out of the shipping lanes. I think maybe, you know, inside that, where that dolphin is, towards the beach, might be a safer place. Anyway, just my thoughts. And
thank you. Any more?
No.
I think the jetty's a hard one. You know, it's we've covered so much ground. I mean, I said this, Chris, years ago, I said in a meeting about the jetty that, you know, we started doing dive charters on the breakwater. Mm-hmm. Load up the old Comm C, and we'd go five turns on the propeller, and we were at the breakwater, and then we put everybody in the water. And it's an awesome dive site. It's a great dive site. I've done that thing a lot, and a long time ago. You know, one... I don't want to leave any rock unturned, no pun intended, but I think there's something to be said for what everybody's saying. It's just so hard to be so far in the process and want to ratchet back. And I think what we all have to do in the room, and I'm kind of thinking about last week, and that was a great meeting last week, and really appreciated Steve's comments at the first of the meeting, and but I really am excited about the conciliatory tone by everyone. We're all trying to move the boat forward together. And so I think the thing that I get a little bit hesitant, well, a lot hesitant about, is we've got to really be careful that we don't give away public money on stuff that we've already gone down that road so far on. In terms of, you know, Liz, you've been in this game too, that when we go down a road in public works, it's pretty hard to just suddenly at the last turn say, oh gosh, we're going to take this project a different way and paint it black instead of white or red instead of blue. So anyway, I'm not saying we're not going to look at it. We'll look at it, but I really got to spend some time and chew on this thing and figure out. I'm going to talk to Shane some more and the engineer and see where we're going. But, you know, at this point, I think the other thing to be said is we don't have to accept bids. And I don't know if that's the process forward or not. But we can certainly go out to bid, and it's certainly our right whether we accept bids or not. We don't have to take a successful bid. And then maybe that, I'm just speaking off the top of my head, maybe that's a...
Yeah, we have the right to refuse all bids.
Yeah, a strategy. Last thing I want to say, and I get it that, you know, you hear a weird comment from a public official, and, you know, I winced too when Steve made that comment on Tuesday, but believe me, it isn't easy to be up here and to face the crowd out there. And particularly when it could be construed that the crowd's hostile over something we've done up here, and we're not intentionally doing anything up here. We're just trying to perform a role as a public servant. So, and the difficulty of that day is we were in the corner of that room yelling at the top of our lungs, trying to speak out to the crowd. The crowd was yelling back at us, speak louder, speak louder. So, I'm not defending Steve necessarily, but I really appreciate his willingness to be genuine in his comments. And I think we all know he's certainly not a man that is going to belittle anyone. And even though it came out that way, it was the wrong words to say. I would just ask or beg patience on the part of the audience for us, because we really are. We're just trying to do the best we can up here. So that's all my comments.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
And I forgot to look. I think I was curled up around my computer going over old records and looking at old, listening to old audio minutes, and I don't think I got out of that all week. So. Okay, so the next public workshop is, and regular meeting is Wednesday, April 11th, and the workshop is at 9:30, the meeting is at 1, and that's here. And so we are going to adjourn to executive session. This is potential litigation for the purpose per RCW 42.30.110I, and the session is expected to last how long, Carol?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Okay.
10 minutes noted.
Okay. So this meeting is adjourned.